Hello there, nice to have you with me again on the Psychology Report. Say, our survey was done recently by Lifeway Research Corporation. They asked a large number of Protestant people why they prayed. You know, they got a whole host of answers. And it appears that there are multiple reasons people pray, and there's no one particular reason that people pray. And they pray for the funniest things, the strangest things. And they're all over the map. You wonder if God can even follow the prayers of people. But you know, it's an interesting little study on the way people think and the psychology of people as they pray and as you examine their prayers. It's kind of how they view the world. I think people view God as they view the world. They see the world as a peaceful place. They see God as a peaceful person in their life. They see God, if they see the world through envy and strife and anger and violence, they probably see God in terms of revenge and revolt and some kind of retaliation kind of type of God. We match our God with our world. And you know, we often match our God with our own fathers. If our fathers were peaceful, loving, caring, we tend to see God in that image. If our fathers were abusive and selfish and withdrawn or absent, we tend to see God in the image similarly. So, you know, it's an interesting study. When you look at how people view God and relate it to the psychology of people and how they view themselves, they view their world, view their family, view the experiences that they've had in life. If you tend to have a lot of bad experiences, you maybe tend to see God as out to get you, punish you for some reason. And if you have a lot of positive experiences in your life, you maybe tend to see God as a blessing on your life in some way. Well, what did the research say? What did the research say about all this in terms of why people pray? Well, 51% of them. So we're going to start with half. 51% of them prayed for their own sins. Well, they kind of saw God as holding them accountable. You know, that was the Martin Luther experience. Prayed daily, long hours. Went to confession daily, long hours for what he considered to be his sins. So, people who pray for their own sins tend to hold God in the image of accountability. He's an accountability partner, one to hold you responsible, one to hold your feet to the fire, so to speak. And if you don't kind of meet the match, you failed God, and you better pray for that kind of forgiveness. So, 51% of prayers are focused on this, okay? Now, people prayed for a multitude of things, so the numbers are not going to add up because they pray for three or four or five things per prayer. But these are just some of the things that they do pray for besides their own sin. 44% of the people prayed for those experiencing natural disaster. So they saw God as kind of a rescue worker. He was going to try to kind of rescue these people from their disastrous and traumatic life experiences. God's a rescue worker in their eyes. And maybe they didn't help. Maybe they didn't send a buck or two to some relief organization. Maybe they didn't volunteer time to go and help somebody in disaster, but they pray that God will somehow intervene as a rescue worker on their behalf. That's 44% of the people. It's good to see that people consider the trauma of other people, but it's more through prayer than it is through personal action and involvement. Now let's move along. 20% of the people pray for the winning of the lottery. Well, they see God as a financier. They see God as their financial advisor. See God as their CPA. See God as their banker. And somehow or another, appealing to God will improve their financial status. So God is kind of a functional financier for them and to help them come out of a difficult financial situation and take care of them through the lottery. Well, 11% of the people prayed for their favorite team to win a game. The Cubs winning the World Series. You know, those that are the Giant fans. You know, those that are wanting the Bears to win the National League this year, or wanting some other team, their favorite college or university team, or whatever it might be. They pray for their favorite team to win. In other words, they see God as kind of a cheerleader. You see God as kind of a person out front there that's going to advocate for them and be their cheerleader, be their representative for the team to win. And all they have to do is sit back and let God take care of it, because God's the super cheerleader over their life. Move on. 7% would pray that they not get caught for speeding. Well, if speeding is a sin, in other words, go ahead and sin, but don't get caught. If speeding is an infraction, go ahead and live a life of infraction, but don't get caught. Let God intercede. In other words, they saw God as a guardian angel. God has that view of being a guardian angel in their life and would protect them from their ill-thought behavior and decisions to speed, for whatever reason it might be. So in other words, as long as God's a guardian angel in your life, go ahead and do what you ever want. Break the law. It's okay, because God's going to be your guardian angel. And then they move on. 5% would pray that somebody's relationship would end or would break up. Probably their daughter's relationship or their son's relationship or a good friend's relationship. But they would pray that that relationship would break up. In other words, they saw God as kind of a Cupid. You know, kind of a one that would put people together and maybe break people apart. You know, kind of a Cupid role that God plays in the life of people. That's how they see God. Putting people together and then taking people out of their life that is not good. Because you determined that relationship is not a good relationship. So you want God to be the Cupid and break it up. That's how they see God, is in that Cupid role. Moving on, 9% tend to find a good parking lot, a good parking spot. They want God to kind of go before them and find that parking spot and hold it for them. It's like the eyes of Texas are upon you, okay? In other words, they saw God as kind of a super shopper, starting in the parking lot, getting a parking space for them, and then helping them get in there and spend whatever money they want to spend, independent of whether they give any money to the church or give any money to missions or give any money to religious organizations or to relief organizations. Just get me a parking spot so I can go in and spend my money shopping for what I want to shop for. God's a super shopper. That's how they view him. Then 14% of the people prayed that God would avenge somebody who hurt me or hurt them or loved them. In other words, if somebody hurt you, you pray that God will somehow get even on your behalf. You know, that he's your bodyguard, so to speak. God's a bodyguard. He's going to avenge anybody who hurt you, who broke a love relationship with you, or whatever it might be. In other words, get even. Get back at. But don't you do it. Let God do it. Let God create a situation that somebody will have pain because they caused you pain. And so you put God in that kind of role of the bodyguard and defender. 26% of the people prayed for people of other faiths or those of no faith. In other words, they were kind of seeing God as a good neighbor. You know, people who are down the block but have a different faith. They prayed for them, but they prayed that God would somehow work something in their life and be part of their life and be helpful to them. In other words, God's a good neighbor. Maybe they didn't go down and become a good neighbor themselves, but they wanted God to go down there and be a good neighbor. So they saw God in that good neighbor role. And then finally, 46% of the people prayed for their enemies. You know, they saw God as kind of a benevolent person who would take care of the enemies and would somehow go before them and somehow be a teammate so that the enemy would be taken care of, would be knocked out, so to speak. Or if they prayed favorably for their enemies, that somehow that God would bring the enemy into a position of friendship. So they wanted God to be that kind of benevolent person who brought people together, the enemies together into their life. So sometimes they prayed for the enemies that maybe their enemies would suffer. Sometimes they prayed for the enemies that their enemies would be forgiving and reconcile and come back into the relationship and become a teammate again. So see how God is a teammate, wanting God to somehow bring together two parties that were enemies to each other. You know, it's just interesting that when you look at, you know, the people as they pray. Now, in a given prayer, maybe they pray for 4, 5, 6 of these kind of things. But you can kind of see the pattern of how people think and how people see God. Very, very few people pray for God in a holy being and to have a relationship with a holy being. They were all very functional prayers. They to make some their life easier, make their life better, to make their life stronger, to make the relationships that they're in better, to make their world go more smooth and more peaceful. Prayer is very functional for people, apparently. And there's very little recognition of prayer to God for God's own purpose, for His holiness. You know, my understanding of prayer is that you pray that your mind, that your decision-making, your value system, your moral system will be in line with God's. That there be a match-up between the mind that you have and the mind of Christ, the motives that you have and the motives of Christ, the values that you have and the values of Christ will be matched up. That's what prayer is all about, as I understand it. That the mind of God be in you. And when that is the case, then all these other things will just come to be. Well, I'd be interested in your take on it, what you pray for, and what you think prayer is all about. Maybe you ought to examine your prayer life a little bit. Maybe you ought to examine what's going on in your life. And see where you have God. See where you place God in your life through prayer. You know, what you pray for will tell you how you view God. And what you pray for will tell you what you think is wrong or failing in your life. What the weakness or the inadequacy that you have. And they want God to fill it. You want God to take charge, take care of it for you. So take a look at it. Be interested to see what you come up with. Discuss it with somebody. Pass this podcast on to somebody else that might be of interest or might be interested in the topic. And maybe you can have some dialogue on it as well. I'm going to call it the many faces of God through prayer. And it's how we view God. Okay, now, nice to have you with me. This has been the Psychology Report. We have over 17,000 people who listen and listen on a periodic basis. So the listeners are over 17,000 now. So you're in good company. So feel free to share it and let's grow our audience a little bit, okay? Anyway, nice day with me. Go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. And in there are the number of good books, you know, for you to read. Living Life at Its Best, I recommend for you. Living Life at Its Best. How to live a life of practical competency and success and achievement. And develop the social, emotional skills that are necessary for effective living. So you'll find that book would be very helpful. I recommend it. Bye for now.